Thank you for your graciousness in allowing me to sit down. I'd rather stand up and teach, but my nurse daughter said, don't do that, sit down. So I said, yes, ma'am. And so thank you for your graciousness. Thanks, Tim, for all your extra help this morning. And there's a song the Newsboys sing. Vicki, I don't know if they sang it last week. It's like, I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son. They did that song, and they do that at Logos. So I asked my wife to teach us a lower scale version of that one, but it's a great confessional song of the great doctrines of the Bible, so we're looking into that for you, okay? We're looking at a little series. We're going to be getting into 2 Peter, Lord willing, pretty soon. 2 Peter is the book for today. I'll tell you what, Peter is sort of his last will and testament. He's going to die soon, and he has an incredible burden for the saints to remind them of truth. He's going to talk to them about false teaching. He's going to say, you know what? There are false prophets in the Old Testament. There will be false teachers today, chapter 2. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about the judgment that's coming, and he talks about heaven. And there's not a lot of people talking about what the Bible says about heaven. So I'm looking forward to getting into 2 Peter. But before we do that, I want to take a little detour and look at the end of Psalm 19 and talk about nine things the Bible will do for you. Follow along as I read Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. We'll review a little bit, and then we'll go over a few more points this morning. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, the psalmist declares, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony, and by the way, all these terms refer to the Word of God. You know that. Pastor John Schaefer taught us that. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are what? Right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Listen to these descriptive verses. Three other references. Psalm 19, verse 103. The psalmist declares what we just read in Psalm 19. How sweet are your words to my taste. And by the way, that was a developed taste, by the way. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Look what the great prophet Jeremiah said. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became a joy and delight of my heart. And Jeremiah declared this in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The point we want to make in these couple weeks is simply this. We wrote it out for you on the outline, that the Word of God, your Bible, is precious, valuable, and often undervalued by us. It's often like one of those very expensive treasures that we hide away in the attic and we forget all about it. It is unappreciated, it is unappropriated, and I need this reminder. The national statistics where Bible reading is going down all the time, we need to hear this, we need to do something about it. And we have a generation, I'm told, where biblical ignorance is on the rise, and we have a generation of people bored with the Bible. I'm reading this book, you might like the title, I don't know. I'm not reading it, I'm really studying through it. It's called Saving Eutychus. Anyone remember what happened to Eutychus? What happened to Eutychus? I believe it's Acts 20. What happened to Eutychus? Paul was excited and had a lot to talk about. And Paul preached too long. Eutychus was up in the window. He fell out as dead. And so the name of this book is Saving Eutychus, How to Preach God's Word and Keep People Awake. That's a good title, isn't it? And so it's helpful. I want to remind you this morning as we go over this, how valuable and precious your Bible is. You know that. You know that. But sometimes we need someone to tell us it really is. It really is a treasure. And there are some people in parts of the world, you know this because you pray for them, they would do anything, anything to have one page of the Word of God in their own language. And we have more Bibles than we know what to do with. So we're committed, as Tim said, to the Word of God. And nine things the Bible will do for you. Let me review the first three we went over. I'll give you three more. Then we'll observe the Lord's table together. Number one, first benefit, we said the Word of God will restore and revive you. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The New NIV translates that as refresh, refresh, reset, revive, restore us. Most of us are spiritually dehydrated and we don't even know it. We don't know what's going on. We need the Word of God. The Word of God will reveal what's on the inside. It'll restore us. It'll revive us beyond human explanation. All right? I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but there's a lot of talk out there. There's a lot of articles on how you can revive your aging brain. All kind of doctors out there, they want to sell you vitamins. They want to sell you all kind of things. But you know what? The Word of God will revive your brain like nothing else. Look what Peter says. This is very important. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, and a lot of translations miss that, I just found out. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 to the end of the chapter, Peter says this to the Christians. Peter says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, abiding Word of God, for all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains how long?
Forever.
And this is the good news. That's the word gospel in the Greek. And this is the good news that was preached to you. If you're saved this morning, it's because someone either preached or gave you scripture to read. You were saved through the Word of God that talked to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter says, through the living and permanent Word of God. By the way, restoration may not happen. It may take gradual time to happen, but we need to have a careful saturation with the Word of God and watch what God will do for us and through us as we appropriate scripture. Second benefit we gave you, according to Psalm 19, verse 7, the latter part of the verse, the Word of God will make you wise. The Word of God will give you God's wisdom. It says here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We're all born simple-minded, and we can either become wise through God's Word, or we can grow into fools. The choice is us. The Word of God will make you wise. And then the third thing we went over so far, we said from Psalm 19, verse 8, the Word of God will give you joy. Psalm 19, verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And last week we went into Habakkuk chapter 1 and Habakkuk chapter 3, and we showed that Habakkuk started out really depressed and miserable, and once he got God's perspective, he broke out in incredible joy and doxology. Things didn't change, but he had God's perspective on life, and it gave him joy. Gave him God's perspective. Well, let me give you three more short ones this morning before we remember what the Lord Jesus did for us. Number four, according to Psalm 19, verse 8, the Word of God will provide you with much needed spiritual vitality. Or if you like, you can write down vitamins if you like. The Word of God will provide you with much needed spiritual vitality. It says here in verse 8, part B, the commandment of the Lord is pure, and here it is, enlightening the eyes. I go to two different kinds of doctors. I go to the WellSpan guys because I have to. I live around here and we're in the network. And then we go out to a doctor in Palmyra. He's an MD, but he's off the radar, if you know what I mean. You know, when you go to him and you tell him how you feel and what's going on, he doesn't report on your, whatever that link is, so everybody can read it. And we will spend time with him, and after a pretty thorough evaluation, he will often recommend pharmacy-grade supplements, vitamins, and minerals, as well as a careful diet. I remember a couple years ago when I needed hernia surgery, I went to him and I said, "Hey, doc, do you have a vitamin to take care of this hernia?" And he said, "No, go get surgery." So, okay, all right. And we appreciate this doctor a whole lot because he navigated us through the COVID year and really helped us build up the immune system. Why do you need, perhaps, pharmacy-grade minerals and vitamins? Well, he told us. He said, "Our soil has been depleted of natural vitamins and minerals, and often sometimes we just have to supplement because the food just doesn't have the stuff in it used to have," all right? Well, what's the spiritual connection here, Mike? That's what I want to know. We're living in an increasingly antagonistic culture where our values are not backed up like they once were. How many would say that when you went to public school and we went to public school, if you got in trouble in school, where else did you get in trouble? When I was bad in church, and I was bad in church, all right, all the teacher had to say, "I'm going to talk to your mother." Instant obedience. Oh, instant obedience, because you remember, that day is gone. That day is gone. We don't have the spiritual minerals in the system like we once had. Our daily battle with sin will deprive you of nutrients. And so we need energy, we need spiritual vitality, fellowship is great, we need fellowship, church is great, but nothing can replace the Word of God when it comes to vitamins and nutrients. Listen to this, Psalm 19, verse 8. "The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." That means give you bright eyes or spiritual vitality. It's what Jonathan experienced in 1 Samuel 14, verse 29, when even though Saul told him not to, Jonathan ate some honey. Remember that? And it gave the energy. Gave the energy he needed. What do you do when you need energy, by the way? What do? You know, you're sluggish at home and you need a little pickup. I hope Emily's not watching this. Emily would go for a Red Bull. You ever see those things? Man, those things scare me. I'll tell you what, it says 1,000% cap, whatever it is, the caffeine level is like enough to scare me. But often what I will do in the afternoon, I will get some honey and apple cider vinegar and water and mix it up. And I'll tell you what, that honey just brightens the eyes. You see the picture? It gives you that shot of God's sugar. Well, the Bible will do the same thing. It will give you much needed spiritual vitality. And most of us need that because most of us get discouraged. Number five. Psalm 19, verse 9 and 10 tells us that the Word of God will be our enduring hope. And hope is really confidence. Listen to these words again. "The fear of the Lord is clean." And clean means acceptable in the presence of God. It means there is nothing that can wear away the Word of God. It endures forever. We read that. We'll read that again. "The rules of the Lord are true, righteous altogether." And we read before, "More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb." Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, you know this verse, "Heaven and earth will pass away." There's coming an end. We're going to see that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Not only are they going to be passed away, but there's going to be a new heavens and new earth. But Jesus said, "My words will never pass away. Forever, O Lord," he said, "thy word is settled in heaven." There's enduring hope. Verse 10 of Psalm 19 says that God's word is a delight. It is to be valued, providing satisfaction and desirability. One Bible teacher said this, "The Bible will never erode beneath you. It will feed you with the finest spiritual food." And one of the things we have appreciated, you have appreciated, about Billy Graham and Franklin Graham and all the men and women connected with the Graham organization When they get up to say something, what do they say? They say, the Bible says, right? I mean, that's what they say. You go back and listen to all the messages. They say, the Bible says, and boom, they will hit you with the Word of God. Why? Because they believe it is our enduring hope. It'll never go away. It'll never, never age. The Word of God will be your enduring hope. Joyful, rock-solid confidence. And that's why, and Jamie was here a couple weeks ago, Mark Crocco just talked to me the other last night, I think it was, he called me up. A couple of the other men were saying, you know what, you got to stick to the Bible. You got to stick to the Bible. Don't soften it. Always be gracious. Always be loving. But do not soften the message. And I was glad, Mike, you were saying how they didn't soften the message. They didn't soften the message because the Bible is our enduring hope. Now, let me give you one more this morning. And this one's really, really important. Number six. And you know all these. This is sort of a review for you. But according to Psalm 19, verse 11, the Word of God will warn you of danger. The Word of God will warn you of danger, and a wise person will pay attention. All right? It says in verse 11a, moreover, by them is your servant warned. The Word of God will warn you of danger. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. Proverbs, as well as really the entire Word of God, has many, many warnings concerning our choices. And although we believe in the sovereignty of God, God is sovereign, amen, God is sovereign, there's forgiveness, but our choices have consequences, do they not? Our choices yield consequences. And that's why we need warning as to what is right, what is wrong, what is wise, what is foolish. How many of you have one of those phones that warn you when a tornado is coming? You have one of those things? What do they call those things? Smartphones? It didn't happen this summer, but I remember last summer, the phone went off. It said, you better get in the cellar. A tornado is sighted, and it's on the way to Dover. And you know what? When that phone goes off like that, I'm down in the cellar, okay? I'm not going to go out and put a metal chair out in the yard and wait for something to happen, okay? Yeah, I used to do that, but no more, okay? We have carbon monoxide detectors in the house. Why do we do that? Why do we have carbon monoxide detectors in the house? A year ago or so, we smelled this odor in the house. And my wife thought there was a skunk in the neighborhood. The problem is the odor didn't go away. And we didn't smell it outside. So someone said to us, you know, maybe you have a gas leak in the house. We just had a brand new furnace put in. And so we called Columbia Gas. I'll tell you what, they were right there. They're right there. They came in the house. By the way, when you call the gas company, and if you think you have a gas leak, man, they say run away from your house, you know, do that. So the man came with his equipment, went downstairs, opened up the brand new heating system, and he said, "You better get out of here. I'm gonna." He shut it down so no one could have heat for a couple days, and it was a warning. It was a warning. We needed that. Any of your cars, does the light ever go off? The engine light ever go off? My mechanic up the road said, if it goes off, it's okay. It's when it flashes, you're in trouble. You better pull off and pay attention to that warning. You can't claim ignorance. Let me go to two passages in Proverbs, maybe a couple more here. Find Proverbs 5 in your Bible. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. And this is a big topic in Scripture. Proverbs warns about the sin, the damage of immorality that nobody sees. Nobody sees. And if you pay attention to the world, you're not gonna hear from the world system. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7. Solomon takes a lot of time to warn against immorality because of the consequences that you're not told about. I'm going to 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to go to, where do I want to jump in here? Let's jump into chapter 7. Jump chapter 7, verse 4. Let's jump in chapter 7, verse 4, okay? Solomon says, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call insight your intimate friend. They will keep you," verse 5, "from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words." And by the way, Proverbs is poetic language, so we're not just talking about a particular lady here. We're talking about all kind of immorality. And here's the picture: "For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I perceived among the youths a man lacking sense. Passing along the streets near her corner, taking the road to her house." Immorality. "In the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness, and behold," verse 10, "the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wavered. Her feet do not stay at home." Verse 12, "Now in the street, now in the market, and in every corner she lies in wait." Telling us that immorality, the temptation for immorality, is all over the place. It is all over the place. "She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, 'I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from the Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, cinnamon.'" Verse 18, "Come, let us take our fill of love till morning and delight ourselves with love." And look at verse 19. What'd she say? "My husband's not at home. Nobody will ever find out. Nobody will ever know. He's away. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money. At full moon, he will come home." And with much, verse 21, "seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him." And look how romantic this gets. Look at the romantic picture Solomon paints. "At once, this young man follows her." And what's the romantic picture? "As an ox goes to the slaughter." You get it? "As a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces his liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life." And here's the warning. Here's the warning. "And now, O sons, listen." Verse 24, "Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn to the words, turn to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low." This is the whole immorality. "And all her slain are like a mighty throng. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." What's he really saying? The wages of sin is what? Death. You get involved in this, it could ultimately lead to death. That's a warning. And if you want to spend the time going over chapter 5, 6, and 7, there's more. They're graphic. They're graphic. The Word of God will warn you of danger because it wants us to experience the abundant life. Go to chapter 24. Here's one of my favorites I'm trying to learn from. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Here's another wise warning. And by the way, the Word of God outside of Proverbs and inside of Proverbs will warn you of the danger of materialism. Materialism is very, very serious. They warn you against ungodly pleasure. A lot of other things. Here it is. This is a great one. I like this one. Proverbs 24, go to verse 30 to the end of the chapter. Here it is. Warns us against the sin of procrastination. Putting things off. Putting things off. I don't know about you, but I need to hear this often. Solomon says, "I passed by the field of a sluggard." What do you know about a sluggard in the Word of God? What does a sluggard say? You've read about him a lot in the Scriptures. What does a sluggard say? He doesn't say he's lazy. They tell him to do something, and he says, "I'm not going outside because there might be a lion outside." You know? Try that on. I've tried that. It doesn't work at home, okay? I'm not going to do that. Well, there might be a lion out there. I mean, there's a lot of excuses he comes to use. It says a sluggard is so lazy, he won't even bring his food from his plate to his mouth. That's how bad he is. Anyhow, "I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown in thorns. Did that happen overnight, or did that take a while? Hey, that didn't happen overnight. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. A wise person will look at something like that, or a particular situation out there, there's a lot of situations, and learn wisdom. Be warned. It says, verse 32, then I saw it, I considered it, I looked, and I received instruction. I was warned. He says, I was warned, and I paid attention. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. That's what the sluggard says, right? I'll do it later. I need to do this first. I need to rest a little bit. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Here it is. Poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. The Word of God will warn you of danger. It'll give us, if we apply it and stick with it, it'll give us spiritual vitality, the energy we need. It'll give us enduring hope and confidence. And the Word of God will warn you of danger. And our job is to pay attention, to obey it, and to be thought of as wise. Let's bow in prayer this morning. You know, our Bible is precious, and I believe more than ever before, we need to spend time in this book and let it get into our system. So when we think, we'll be thinking God's thoughts. You may be here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, Peter says that we are saved through the abiding Word of God. You may be here this morning, and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Our word to you this morning is to turn from whatever you are holding on to, whatever you're putting your confidence in, and place your faith in Christ, who died on that cross for your sin. And the Bible says all those who turn from sin, repent of their sin, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be given the free gift of everlasting life simply by turning to Christ and Christ alone. You can do that this morning. If you never trusted Christ, you need to do that. You need to, in your heart, prayer won't save you, but the Lord Jesus will. You need to be able to tell God in the quietness of the moment, dear Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I believe when Christ died, He died for me on that cross, paying for my sin. And to the best of my ability, I believe that when Christ died, He died for me. Thank you. Thank you for the free gift of everlasting life. If that's your prayer, if that's your heart prayer this morning, I believe the Word of God says all those who come to Christ, He will in no wise cast out. Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Lord, as we see opportunities coming up, Lord, give us the wisdom to take advantage, to speak a word for Christ. And thank you, Father, for our Bibles. Thank you for this precious treasure in Jesus' name. Amen.